This is the audio podcast of the Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy in Washington, D.C. Hi, I'm Grant Smith. This has been an interesting week for Middle East policy, punditry, and politics. We'll look at a naval clash, the Bush visit to Palestine, and a little bit of trade punditry during this segment. On January 6, 2008, there was some kind of event between U.S. warships and Iranian speedboats in the narrow Straits of Hormuz. Fox News was quick to highlight the supposed threats to the United States by these small boats and a mysterious yet ominous message that was transmitted over the air during maneuvers. Let's listen.
Pentagon has released footage of Iranian boats circling and taunting United States warships in the Strait of Hormuz. Take a look.
I am coming to you.
Inbound small craft. You are approaching a coalition warship operating international waters. Your identity is not known. Your intentions are unclear. You are standing into danger and may be subject to defensive measures. Request you establish communications now or alter your course immediately to remain clear. Request you alter course immediately to remain clear. We will explode after a few minutes.
An Iranian official is now accusing the United States Navy of fabricating this explosive video and making up the entire incident. The unnamed official claims the footage that you just saw was compiled using stock footage and fake audio. With us now, Fox News contributor Dan Senor and the host of Geraldo at Large, our own Geraldo Rivera. Wouldn't have bothered me one bit, Geraldo, if we blew those ships right out of the water.
You know, it's interesting, Sean.
Fox News then turned to its guest, Dan Senor, for analysis. I'm not going to make any comments on why Senor was invited to appear so quickly to analyze this, but I only want to read a few points from his biography. Quote, in August 2006, Dan Senor was quoted in the Wall Street Journal representing Vets for Freedom, a 527 committee that's attacking advocates of an end to the Iraq occupation, and who were supporting Joe Lieberman for the U.S. Senate. Bullet point. Senor was an advisor to the Iraq Coalition Provisional Authority Director Paul Bremer until the nominal transfer of sovereignty. He also acted as the civilian spokesman at CPA press conferences in Baghdad, partnering with U.S. military spokesman Mark Kimmett. Point. In 1993, Senor did an internship at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, a powerful pro-Israel lobby organization, which some regard as being affiliated to the Likud party. APAC website quotes him as saying, quote, whether I was learning the ins and outs of Washington with my fellow interns or attending briefs on Capitol Hill, my internship at APAC prepared me for my work in politics. This is all from a website called SourceWatch, and it certainly did prepare him for politics. But what about the truth? By the end of the week, Iran had released a video, a rather mundane exchange between those speedboats and the U.S. naval vessels. Let's listen to a part of that.
After the fifth.
Navy warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat Anton 16 coming over. Navy warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat Anton 16 coming over.
This is Coalition Warship 7-3. Roger, over.
Coalition Warship 7-3, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat on channel 16. Over.
Coalition Warship 7-3, I read you loud and clear. Over.
Coalition Warship 7-3, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat. Record ship channel 1-1. Over.
Coalition Warship 7-3 shifting to channel 1-1, over.
Coalition Warship 7-3, this... Coalition Warship 7-3, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat, Anton 1-1, how do you copy over?
This is Coalition Warship 7-3, I read you loud and clear, over.
coalition warship 73 deceased Iranian Navy patrol boat. Request by the number Hilo operating in the area this time. Over.
So what really happened? Some note that the threats to blow up the U.S. vessels that came in over the radio may not have actually been made by the Iranian boats, since the Straits have many radio operators. They're both onshore and offshore. And some say it's kind of like a CB, or Citizens Band Radio, environment, harkening back to the 1970s in terms of licit and illicit broadcasting. But the uncertainties surrounding the event did not keep powerful Washington, D.C. think tank policy wonks from Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, from playing up the event for all it was worth. Which leads me to propose that, at least for this week, we call this event the Gulf of Wonkin.
Bienvenidos a la sintonía de Radio Francia Internacional.
Radio France International called IRMEV this week to get our impression of President George Bush's visit to the Middle East. This is what we told them, briefly. The objective is to underscore some reinitiating of the peace process and that there are expectations of the Palestinians and Israelis. President Bush signaled, almost for the first time, to the Israelis that their illegal colonies are not acceptable, and he started to generate real pressures we've not seen for most of his years as president. Equally, this scheduled visit to Palestinian territories gives added legitimacy to the idea that in some fashion it must become part of a viable Palestinian state, which is a positive move, unquote. Finally, Professors John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt, who wrote a report and book challenging the utility of the U.S.-Israel relationship and the power of Israel's lobby in the United States, drew some fire from the op-ed page of the Los Angeles Times. Mitchell Bard wrote on January 10th an op-ed piece that included a portion about the value of trade between the U.S. and Israel. Quote, the U.S.-Israel relationship extends beyond the federal government to the state and local level. A milestone in these contacts occurred with the 1984 creation of the Texas-Israel Exchange, promoting projects in agriculture. Since then, at least 23 other states have signed agreements with Israel to increase cooperation in trade, tourism, research, culture, and other activities of interest to individual states. The financial benefits to the states from bilateral agreements can also be substantial, considering that 17 states exported at least $100 million worth of goods to Israel in 2006, and three exported more than $500 million. With New York leading the way at $4.6 billion, unquote. I wrote a short chapter about U.S.-Israel trade in the 2007 book titled Foreign Agents. And I'm sorry, Mitchell, if you're looking for items on the asset side of the balance sheet, trade is just simply not one of them. LATimes.com was kind enough to print my riposte to Mitchell, and we'll see if it appears in the hard copy edition this week. But this is what it said. Quote, trade is a great example of the benefits of Israel to the U.S. And I put benefits in quotes. But Texas exports prove nothing. In the late 80s, U.S.-Israel trade was roughly in balance. In 1984, the U.S. and Israel signed a free trade agreement, and between 1989 and 2006, the U.S. cumulative trade deficit ballooned to almost $50 billion in deficit with Israel. The FBI investigated AIPAC in 1984 because it had acquired confidential International Trade Organization documents on the U.S. negotiating position. Presumably, AIPAC then used that information against the United States. This unfavorable trade relationship is more symbolic of the huge cost of this relationship to the U.S. and how the lobby does business than taxes exports. Unquote. Thank you for listening to the IRMEP podcast. To subscribe to a syndicated feed, visit www.irmep.org.